Hi, it's Elise.
And it's Nick again.
And this is episode 7 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
Woo!
You did it! So obviously you do listen to our podcast.
Yes, I do.
Well, thank you. All the episodes? Have you listened to all the episodes, Nick?
I gotta listen to one more.
Okay.
Just one more.
So
I've heard good things about the last episode. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Peaks. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We did a few videos on that. I was pretty excited about that one. We didn't really have a plan, but it came out pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded like it. I'm excited for it. Mm.
So this time we are going to talk about sex again, but we're going to get a little more intimate. Hannah is on vacation, y'all, so she is not going to be on this one. Plus, she's not super comfortable talking about this kind of stuff, so we decided I would just do this one with Nick. So let's just get right into it. Let's talk a little bit about blowjobs. Yeah. So, you know, okay, so let's talk about how to give a good blowjob.
No teeth, unless they want it. Yeah. Think of it from like a woman's perspective. You don't want the man like kind of gnawing on you with his teeth. You want more tongue, more lubrication, etc. When a man's going down on you. So it's kind of the same thing with a guy. Like, I mean, no guy wants to be chafed. So teeth, that's a no-go for me.
Yeah, but don't some men like masturbate without any lubrication?
Bless their souls. I think it also has to do with like the sensitivity. So like maybe some men are like less prone to the sensitivity of masturbation. So like they can just do it dry per se. Specifically, I think one of the most sensitive areas is more towards the tip and underside of a man. So that's kind of like where most of the pleasure comes into play. Whereas like the shaft is more of just there for looks.
Okay. All right. So then, so what I've heard is that you want a good rhythm between your mouth and your hand.
Absolutely. I think in my personal experience, some of the best techniques have been when a woman is capable of using her mouth and hand in a synchronized motion. So it can be difficult, but again, like I said, watch several kinds of porn. There's a lot of girls that have some really good techniques. Then you can kind of get like some of the obnoxious ones where they make like, I'm not too much of a fan of when she makes a bunch of noise. Then there's the one that are like no hands at all, literally feels like hot dog down a hallway. And you're just like, what are you doing?
So you're talking about suction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, and again, this is from my personal experience. I think that the better techniques were when they had a little bit more suction with not necessarily squeezing with the hand, but like a good, I mean, think of it like if you're having sex, what does it feel like when you're having sex? There's going to be some sort of restriction there. There's going to be some sort of, you know, resistance pressure, that you're going to feel, pressure. So that's essentially what you're trying to mimic with your hand and your mouth. So
That I like that. That's a good point. You have to make sure that you're using enough suction. Mm-hmm. You are using good hand movements that go along with the suction. Now, are you moving your hand in the same motion as your mouth, or are you doing it like opposite?
So
like your hand goes down, your mouth goes up, or is it?
So either way is pleasurable. It can be more of the preference of the man and what he prefers when he's receiving head. I typically like the opposing motions where mouth goes up, hand goes down, you know, and then they meet. Whereas some kind of like the synchronized motion of hand and mouth all in one. Another good technique that I've noticed that works well with the synchronized motion is a small rotation of the hand while moving with the mouth as well. But yeah, like I said, just watch a couple of videos of some porn of like just blowjob videos. Like that's really all you have to watch and you'll see a lot of different techniques.
Okay. What about the balls?
Oh yeah. Always got to stimulate the balls. I feel like that's kind of like the icing on the cake kind of, because you're already being stimulated in a fashion that you like, but typically your balls when you're having regular intercourse, aren't being stimulated. So that's kind of just like the extra little oomph to it. It's like a nice little surprise. I found that the best have been when she was not only using a hand and mouth to give head, but also stimulating the balls with the opposing hand. So.
Okay. What about balls in the mouth?
So depending on the preference of the man, some like them when their balls are sucked on harder, whereas some are a lot more sensitive and they want them sucked a lot more gently. I know from personal experience, I had a woman that went way too gung ho and I felt like I got punched in my stomach and I was like, you're done. But then there has been women that knew exactly what I wanted. And were a lot more gentle, and made things a lot more pleasurable. Now, even going a step further from the balls, there's also your taint and your anus, which can be, stimulated at the same time as well. You don't necessarily have to just focus on the balls, but you can also, you know, touch the man's undercarriage area near the taint and the anus, and that being stimulated at the same time, can be an incredibly pleasurable experience when receiving head. So.
So you just rub the taints. Do you put your finger in the butt?
You can, but some men are not going to be too.
Okay with it.
Yeah. They're not going to be as comfortable with it. Specifically. I mean, some of the first times that I had ever been stimulated anally was it caught me off guard. It wasn't necessarily a bad experience. It's just an experience I wasn't familiar with. And unless it's kind of like either warned ahead of time, some guys are going to be a little bit more standoffish. I would probably say majority of men are going to be pretty standoffish about it. But as far as I experience with me, I've been pretty open to trying it. The first time it ever happened to me, she literally just tongued straight to the ass and I was not prepared for it. And I was just like, okay, she's really doing the thing. And that was, it was a good experience. It wasn't bad. It just, it took me off guard. So it's definitely something that's like a little bit easier when it's talked about ahead of time. But yeah, just not necessarily even penetration, just even stimulating around the anus. So, I mean, think of it like even from a woman's perspective, if she's comfortable with anal play, that, you know, a man even just like, stimulating that area, think of like how you would like it, just like gentle circulatory motions around the anus, and in even just kind of like a good firm gentle pressure against the taint too. Think of them like Benoit balls, you know, kind of just like playing with them in your hand is like, you know, what you would be cupping the balls, but then you would like be pressing the taint with your fingers. So there's a multitude of techniques for that. So
Okay, well, now that we're in the anal area, let's talk about anal. I feel like anal. Oh, wait. I had one more question about blowjobs.
Yeah.
So I've heard two different things. Men like it when you gag and men hate it when you gag.
Again, preference. Me, gagging necessarily doesn't do anything for me. The like physical, how do I say this? Like the visual aspect, like the sensory aspect of hearing the gag doesn't really do anything for me. Mm. It's more of like the sensation of what's happening when they're gagging sometimes. Cause you know, the throat can clench a little bit harder, which can in some instances be a lot more pleasurable, but that also depends on the manner of the gagging, because to me, it wouldn't be attractive if a woman barfed on me. But then there might be some guys that are into that. So like, again, it's a very personal preference kind of instance, but in regards to gagging in general, choking on it, that kind of goes more into like the sub-dom realm of things. And it can be incredibly hot. And then other times you're just kind of like, not so much this time, but it really, again, it's a preference of the person and what they like. Some people really like a good drooling, gagging blowjob. And then others are just like, no, just keep it short, sweet, simple. I just like what I like. So.
But wetness is always a good thing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That and I think would be consistently across the board wetness. There would be some men though that I would say too much wetness is a problem. So like I'll use it for instance of a story that I heard of a woman. She was married to a guy and the guy even said that she was too wet. And to me that kind of like blew my mind. I'm like, what do you mean she was too wet? And to me that kind of meant that he, like I said, the hot dog down the hallway kind of scenario, there wasn't enough restriction. He needed a little bit more resistance while having sex. So it wasn't as pleasurable for him. So that was kind of like where I was like, oh, okay. I guess I can kind of see that. But like, to me, I was just like, nah, man, the wetter, the better.
Well, that's good. Okay. So anal.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The cursed back door.
So I feel like I was just talking to my friend about this. I feel like anal has gotten more acceptable socially. Do you feel that?
Yeah. Even sex in general, like kind of even touching on like back on religion and whatnot, and where that kind of affects sex. Religion has been a kind of like a huge stigma against sex in general. But because sex has become more normalized, people are more accepting of the different types of sex that people like, that obviously anal is becoming a little bit more, normalized. And in my personal opinion, I think it's great, for men and women, especially men, I think, because like women are kind of like, I feel like more exposed to anal than men, and men kind of like are like shamed in it because they think that if they're having anal stimulation of any sort that they're gay, but that's not it. It's pleasure in general. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. But yeah, anal, I feel like is one of the things that, more and more women are willing to, explore now. I mean, obviously there's a giant amount of anal porn that's out there as well. I know specifically plenty of women that find anal porn to be one of the most intriguing to them, yet they had never had anal sex before, and want to explore that sort of realm. So it's definitely a curiosity that has spiked over the years, more and more recently, and become a lot more socially acceptable. So,
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about how to do it.
Always lube, lots and lots of lube. So one of the number one failures of the majority of people who try anal play is they don't prepare enough. And I don't just mean like cleaning the area, but I mean, because that's obviously what you always want to do. Hygiene, number one. Number two, lubrication. That's like probably the... Well, I'll put it this way. Your anal doesn't secrete any kind of wetness like the vagina does. So because of that, you have to have some sort of lubrication. Otherwise, you can start to get like anal tears, anal fissures and stuff like that. And things can get complicated. You can get infections, all that stuff. Whole nine yards.
Bleed.
Stuff that you just don't want to deal with. And so because of that, lubrication is incredibly important. And then the next step following lubrication, obviously, is easing into it. So, you know, you don't just ramrod and go at it. You obviously have to have a discussion about it, make sure the person is okay with it. Some women are already kind of like fluent in the experience, so they're a little bit more accepting of it happening and don't need as much lubrication because they appreciate the sensation itself. And then there's others that are a lot more sensitive and need a lot of lubrication and a lot of preparation before they get to the point of intercourse. So, like, you know, obviously using fingers, toys, et cetera, before getting to the point. I mean, depending on the man's girth too, has kind of a factor in it as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. How about like trainers? I saw that you can get like anal trainers.
Yeah. I highly recommend those, especially if somebody has never had anal sex before. They're kind of like a perfect introduction to it. Cause like I said, it's kind of like scaling up to the intercourse. Cause typically they'll have like, you know, one or two plugs that are much smaller than the size of an average penis. Mm-hmm. And then when you go into the trainers, they usually, as far as I've seen, I think it's like usually three, it's like a small, medium, and large size. And just starting from there, you know, starting from the small one, and not even necessarily going like straight into anal sex with the toys, like just playing with yourself, playing with your partner while having regular intercourse, just to get the sensation kind of like orientated with pleasure. Cause sometimes some women might have had bad experiences where, you know, they had a bad occurrence with a man where it didn't go well, and they didn't like it at all, and they couldn't get to the point where they actually liked it. But then there'll be another gentleman that'll be more apt to explore it with them in a more sensitive manner and progress things a bit. So definitely going slower, progressive, using the training toys is an incredible introduction to it. So, but yeah, even just fingers, man. I mean, if you can't afford the shit, always fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so let's talk about poop.
Shit happens, literally. Literally and figuratively, shit happens. I've even read forums on porn stars, and there's even like bloopers videos that you can like look up on like porn stars, like talking about instances with anal where they've had kind of horrible instances, you know. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh God, I love that movie.
Yeah, so the literal happening of, you know, she goes into the set. She's like, oh, I'm a little constipated. You know, they're like, oh, whatever, we got to do the scene. It's going to be an anal scene, and so they're doing it. And the camera guy's below the girl while they're having sex, and then he like literally gets shit on. Like, I'm not exaggerating. There are porn actresses that have said that has happened, and it's also happened to them. Like, there'll be like a two girls, one guy scene. The guy's fucking the girl in the ass, and then he goes to pull out, and literally the girl gets frosted in the middle of the porn scene, and they have to cut the scene, wash up, clean up, get everything back like to the way it was, and then resume the scene. Like, I'm not joking. This kind of shit actually happens.
Wow. So yeah. Then how do you, can you prevent it from happening?
There are some preventative things that you can do. Obviously diet's one of them. Sometimes you can't help the bodily function. It just so happens, but, eating things that aren't going to be so fatty, and, or make you, have to poop a lot, obviously. So like, depending on when you eat, is a way you can regulate it. Another way is, anal douching beforehand. Like right before you're about to, I think it's a good idea to douche maybe like a good like half hour to an hour beforehand, you know, so that you don't have a bunch of irritation happening after the douching. But yeah, you can clean the area, and then just having stuff on hand, like wipes, whatever it may be, bathroom nearby is always a plus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the middle and in the midst of it. And then even like, I think the hard part of it is, not freaking out, because there's some people that might be a little bit weirded out by the experience that's happening. So when it does happen, keeping calm, composure, just be like, hey, we need to wash up a little bit. I want to continue, you know, especially from the male point of view, because that can really turn a woman off to it. You know what I mean? Like they'll feel embarrassed. They're like, oh man, I shit on him and I feel really bad. But no, it's literally and figuratively, shit happens. So it's an occupational hazard as a part of it. So be prepared for it to happen. And when it does, don't freak out. Just
and lots of communication while you're doing it. Like, yeah. Does this feel okay? Is mm-hmm. this hurt? Do you need me to go slower? La la la. The whole time, I think as long as you have open communication,
yeah,
it works.
That kind of goes into the realm of consent. You know, like if you're in an instance where you agree to it initially, but then you don't like it, stop.
Yeah.
Like, don't just, oh, well, I'm here. Let's do this. If you're not enjoying it, that's going to put a bad stigma on the next time you try it. So like just go with the flow, obviously trying and being open-minded to things. If you're trying it for the first time, when things do occur that you're not comfortable with, obviously changing the pace and saying, hey, let's try something new, or I need asking for lubrication. That's like, as soon as you're starting to feel some sort of like, this doesn't feel right, never hesitate to be like, more lube, please. Like you can literally go on Amazon, buy a gigantic bottle of lube for like 20-30 bucks. And I recommend water-based lube because it's the most natural. It cleans up the easiest. Silicone is obviously stuff that's not natural for the body. So it's a little bit, I don't want to necessarily say it's harmful. It does keep lubrication longer, but I feel like water-based lubrication is a little bit more natural for the body. So it's just a more natural approach, but you can literally buy a gigantic bottle of lube, super cheap, and, you know, pour that shit on. Don't even worry about it.
Just do your research.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research about, which lubes are the best for which things,
yeah,
including anal. I know, Uber Lube is a good one for anal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that we're talking about, we're still in the butt area, let's talk about prostate orgasms.
Oh yeah. Those can be really intense. I would equate those to probably, equal to a woman squirting when orgasming. It's kind of like the, they call it the male G-spot. So typically there's like a G-spot for a woman on the inside that kind of helps trigger squirting a little bit more than clitoral. But there are some women that can clitorally squirt, but typically it's more from an inside perspective that women can squirt. So, but yeah, kind of goes the same for men. It's like a very intense orgasm. The problem with prostate stimulation is obviously the comfortability with man. Again, like I had said before, men who are typically not comfortable with it, or with the societal pressures of like, oh, I'm gay if I want to be, you know, anally pleased. That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah. And remember, you and I had talked about, some straight men will go to gay men to get that anal satisfaction because they feel like, they don't want to talk to their wives or girlfriends about it, and they feel shamed even though they're not gay.
Yeah. I can literally, vouch for, I know a person, somebody I know personally who has experienced this, a gay man himself had straight men come to him for sex because they wanted to explore it, and they were married. So it's like kind of like this weird phenomenon that, like, now that I've been discussing it more and more with some of my friends and openly talking about sex a lot more often now, and discussing my own podcast, obviously, that there is a want for men to explore this. And I think one of the first movies that I ever kind of like noticed it in, which I thought was funny, it was a comedy, but it there was like some realism to it, was the scene where, what was the movie called again? I think it was Good Luck Chuck, and his friend was like the plastic surgeon. And in the middle of the scene, he comes walking in on him, and he's like, you know, masturbating. But he's using something to stimulate his prostate, and like, it's supposed to be like an ew weird moment. But then I look back on it and I go like, yeah, like that's his own fault for like barging in on his friend's place and like running into that. But the fact of the matter that he was even doing it to begin with shouldn't have been weird, but you know, five, 10 years ago, or I want to say it was probably like 10 years ago when the movie was made, maybe even longer, but back then it might've been a little bit weird, but now that I've been obviously a lot more open to sex in general and talking about it and exploring it myself, that I realized it wasn't as weird, that it's an actual normal thing, that there are a lot of men that are curious about having their prostate stimulated. So.
Yeah. And you can do it either with fingers or a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, solo play, partner play. I think partner play is probably the hardest to accept, because again, there's two kind of pressures. There's one pressure from the man feeling like he's going to be seen as gay because of it. And then there's the other pressure of the woman not being interested in it. So, and I think that's kind of where the whole, if it's brought up to the significant other, whether it be like a partner or a wife, that then the man would seek it from a gay man, because it's obviously, I mean, the gay man is obviously going to know what he's doing.
Right.
So,
and even like for straight, yeah, even for straight men, even the first time they do it, it can be a little bit emasculating.
Yeah, definitely.
For them. And yeah, I think as a partner, as a woman, it's important to make them feel comfortable and still that it was natural and that they were all into it just as much.
Definitely. Right? Definitely. Again, really harping on the consensual agreement of things like talking about it as much as possible, making it known what's going to be happening, obviously. And then just normalizing it, because it's a simple thing. And just because somebody likes it, you know, let's say you're a single guy fooling around with some women and stuff like that, and there's some women that don't like it, not a big freaking deal. Next person that's going to be a lot more open about it. But yeah, just making it very comfortable, understanding that, like, again, there can be occupational hazards with anal stimulation with a man as well. So it's not even just women, but man as well. Shit happens. But being prepared for it, setting the mood, setting an area for it to happen. So like if you're going to be doing it in bed, you know, maybe having towels on hand, wipes, etc., anything to curb the situation when it does get a little bit messy, because it can potentially get messy. Sometimes it won't, and that's great. Sometimes it will. So just always being prepared is the best case scenario for that. And then obviously open communication about it all.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just going to interject here and say that with women, any ass play should be the end play before you have to wash off, because some men don't understand that anything in your ass and then to the vagina is like, woo, UTIs, yeast infections, all terrible. Even if you're using toys, do not use the toy in the ass and then go to the vagina. The vagina is just a very sensitive gal, you know, and anything can ruin the pH balance. So many things can give you UTIs and yeast infections. So y'all, please. And don't be shy about telling your man, hey, whoa, we need to wash up before.
Yeah, like, and that's where like the, you know, baby wipes can be your best friend. Even if there's like nothing happening, like, again, there's the occupational hazards of it happening. You might get a little poo on you. You might not get poop on the dick. And if you don't, you still need to just give it a quick wipe, get a little bit of lube, continue on like nothing happened.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be cleaned off, because God, UTIs and yeast infections are the worst. Okay. So that was my little PSA for women everywhere. Okay. So let's go to threesomes.
Oh yeah. Those are tough.
Now I've never had a threesome, so I'm just going to throw that out there. So I don't know, you know, I can't really have a lot of input into this one. I'll have questions, but I've never had one.
No judgment. I mean, it's a very precarious situation, because it can get personally, I would say it can be very difficult between, depending on the scenario of the threesome. So you obviously have your two females and a male, and then you obviously has your two males and a female. I think that the more sought out threesomes are usually the two girls and a guy, typically, just because, you know, the man feels very powerful in the situation. He has two women, but in reality, the women have a lot more power in this because they got more holes than a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just, you know, really only has the ability to please one woman with himself other than his hands and mouth. But that's why it kind of like puts a little bit more pressure on a man in a threesome versus a woman. Like I said, typically the more sought out threesomes are the two girls and a guy because they're a little bit more accepting of it. I feel like women in general are a little bit more apt to try that because they're like, oh yeah, you know, I could fool around with another girl. That's not too big of a deal for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when it's two guys, it's like, okay, this is a little bit like scary kind of for the girl because there's two men in the room versus one girl. Who's going to win this fight if things go south, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I personally have been able to experience both ends of that. With the female side of it, what I would say is, again, communication, consent between all parties. And I think it's typically harder for a lot of women to have a three-way with a man when they have some sort of connection. Then there's obviously the polyamorous realm, which is where parties of people are more acceptable to sex with not just a singular partner,
mm-hmm.
which can make things a little bit easier. Dating can make things a little bit more creative. I think married couples that are looking to spice up their life have looked for this sort of thing as well. Mm-hmm. So really there's no,
I see them on dating apps sometimes.
Yeah. There can be couples, whether it's the male or the female leading the account, looking for a third. Typically they call that the unicorn, I think is the terminology that they use for the third person in a three-way is the unicorn because they're a majestic creature that doesn't exist.
Okay.
But
so now y'all know the lingo.
But the best way I can say to make things incredibly comfortable is one, all parties have to be in communication about this. So like there can't be like one person focusing and talking between the two. I mean, in the beginning, that can be the introduction of like bringing it up like, hey, I found this person. I want to discuss with this person. But then making sure that all lines of communication are open and understood, because I think that a lot of feelings can be hurt. Among people, relationships can be destroyed when that isn't the intention of said occurrence. Obviously, you're just trying to explore things in another format, which can be incredibly exciting. You can have some experiences that you could never have with just two people. So like having a third party person really does increase the intensity of what's happening. There's a lot going on. There's not just two people sharing an experience between each other. There's three. And with that said, you really have to pay attention to all parties in existence. So, and my personal opinion, I think the best case scenario would be typically two girls getting involved with each other and then asking a man to join outside of it. Because when you have a relationship between a man and a woman, a lot of the times from what I've noticed is the women can get very jealous about it. Now you can get lucky and you can get some women that are incredibly comfortable with their male counterpart. And they're like, yeah, you know, she clearly understands that this is just a temporary thing and they want this person, but a lot of feelings can come into play and complicate a lot of things. But in the realm of just generally having sex in a threesome, just all parties need to be within communication and understanding of what's happening.
So then wouldn't it be better with just like three people that didn't really know each other?
Yeah. I mean, that would be typically the easiest.
Yeah.
Because again, there's zero attachment. There's no expectation of like, this is the person that we're going to pursue, you know, long-term, et cetera. As far as I've noticed, there have been a lot of people that would prefer that method versus their counterpart. Because again, it's harder when there's a relationship built there. Typically a lot of feelings can be hurt. And then the same goes for men, like having the two men and the female. The man can become very incredibly insecure, thinking that the woman is more interested in the new man that is present. So that's another trust that has to be built when you're in a relationship, versus where it's just an instance of like two men that aren't familiar with each other and or not familiar with the woman either. It's a little bit easier, but
I just think I would find it a little difficult if I were dating someone and then watching him have sex with another woman would be kind of difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Cause when you build this emotional attachment to a person with sex, and that's where like sex can like completely reach a new level, is when the emotional aspect comes in. Cause there's obviously the raw form, animal instinct of man and woman to have intercourse. You know, our existence is kind of just procreation. So, and what is procreation? That's sex. So, there's the animal instinct of sex, and then there's the emotional instance of sex, where when you develop feelings for that person on an intellectual level, and that is what can kind of like break down barriers socially between the two of you and make sex even more incredible. With that said, there comes some kind of like apprehensions between obviously introducing a third party. So it's harder when you're wanting to have more than one person join in, but then there's also a huge trust there. Like if it can happen within partners and that there a threesome does happen, and that there's an understanding of like, look, this is for the experience between you, and that I care about you enough, I would like to share this experience with you. It can actually become incredible. So,
okay. I guess seeing it from that point, yeah, that would require complete trust of your partner, which is scary.
Very, but it's, you know, trying something new, man. Trying something new is always going to be a little bit scary.
but I'm thinking like, wow, that is a lot of trust in your partner. I couldn't even imagine having that much trust in my partner.
That means you haven't had a partner that's trustworthy enough.
Oh, right to the heart, Nick. Right to the heart. Maybe so. He's out there.
Absolutely.
Are you listening? Future person. That was interesting. I just would find it difficult, I think. And like you said, wow, that is really blowing my mind right now. The whole trust thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be thinking about this for a while. And you and I, you know, talk a lot. I mean, you're one of my best friends, so we talk every day, right?
Pretty much.
But we've never actually had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about some stuff, you know, obviously about, you know, your counterparts and stuff that, and my counterparts as well.
Yeah.
Just using as examples and kind of roadmaps for each other. But, that specific instance has never been something I guess we really discussed. So,
wow. Yeah. Thank you. That's mm-hmm. very, very interesting. And I hope that some of our listeners are like, oh yeah. Because that's where I'm at, guys. I almost want to trust someone that much.
That's the golden ticket, man. That's what the bee's knees, you know, everybody wants that perfect kind of scenario. And if you can trust somebody 110%, you could say like, you know, you let your significant other go out and party at the middle of the night, and you know, no matter what, they're going to come home to you. And you can trust that. That's huge. That's, you know, beyond,
See, I can trust that, but it's the whole trusting in a threesome situation. because mm-hmm. you're literally having sex with someone else.
Well, again, that's where the communication needs to be understood. And like, if there is any apprehension, it shouldn't happen. I highly push against that, saying like, no, don't jump into anything that if either party is having some sort of doubt, you need to talk about that before it happens. Because yeah. if there is doubt going into it, that's going to be a big problem. You're going to start, you know, having some sort of like feelings of apprehension and anxiety or whatever it may be, or doubt in your significant other, or, you know, and even if it's not your significant other, even if it's just, you know, a happening between two people, like, oh, we all just, you know, went onto some random hookup site or something like that and wanted to have this three-way. And then somebody was feeling a little bit, you know, insignificant or not, not important in the scenario. Cause so, a lot of it has to do with just like the feeling of priority or importance. So as long as every person within the interaction is having that, then it's good. It's a good time. It's great, great time. But if there is any kind of apprehensions, it can destroy the relationship or friendship or instance that's happening in general.
Yeah. But how do you know if you're whoever it may be, your boyfriend, your someone that you've been seeing, a situationship, how do you know if they're not going to want to have sex with this person all the time now?
Being clear about it, ask them. Just, and then, I mean, that kind of falls on the person who is being asked to be honest about it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'll use this as a perfect example. Men can find other women attractive. Doesn't mean that they necessarily have to have some sort of deep, meaningful connection with that person. They can say on a, you know, physical level that they can appreciate women, like, you know, actors or models and stuff like that. Typically, mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, there's, they had that thing on Friends. So who is your top five famous people that if you ever met, you would have sex with? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's like you have this kind of like image that you find attractive and you would want to have sex with, but you wouldn't want that as your long term. That's just your fantasy kind of per se. So like you can be attracted to other people without actually loving them. It's really the love and trust that is the most important in a relationship. So as long as you both can come to terms and agree that the instance that is happening is for the experience, the pleasure, et cetera, for the both of you, it can be incredibly beneficial. But if, you know, things take a wrong turn where jealousy starts to happen and uncertainty, et cetera, and people are hiding their feelings in it, then it can become incredibly toxic and incredibly damaging. So
really it's if you're secure enough in yourself and if you trust your partner fully, then it could be a very good time.
Yeah. I mean, I can even vouch specifically. I've been in a instance where things were, I felt lesser in the middle of it. It was another man and a girl, and I definitely had feelings of jealousy. I felt that I wasn't good enough in the instance. Even though, they reassured me like, no, that's not it. Like that has nothing to do with it. Like the second that like I saw things turn south, I wasn't into it anymore. Like, you know, they kept telling me, but of course, you know, there's the whole, I've already have this mindset, you know what I'm saying? Like I've already gotten to this point. I didn't say anything. Things took a wrong turn. So unfortunately, there needs to be, again, the open communication of like, I'm not comfortable with what's happening right now. We need to stop. And that needs to be an agreement between everybody. Cause like if it doesn't, it can be damaging. So.
Okay. Wow. Well, I learned something about myself with this one. Thanks, Nick.
You're welcome, Elise.
Okay, let's bring it back to riding. Okay, so woman on top. Let's talk a little bit about that and the coordination it takes, how it should look, how it should feel, what do women do, what are men supposed to do? I mean, riding isn't... it's not the easiest, most natural thing from what, you know, I've talked about with my friends and everything else. And it's just like, you want to get, and not that they're terrible at it, but you want to get like a good rhythm, you know, and for women, grinding feels better, but for men, bouncing feels better.
Well, think of it in the physics of actual sex happening. Like when a guy's having sex, it's a lot of in and out penetration. Whereas where a girl, they'll appreciate the grind because that has a lot more clitoral stimulation on them, as well as they can feel the movement inside of them. And the fullness that that feels at the same time as the clitoral stimulation is incredibly enticing for a woman. So I typically like to allow that, obviously, as much as she wants, because if she's going to get off, I'm happy by that. If she's not getting off, I feel like there's a problem. I want the woman to enjoy the experience just as much as I. But as far as technique, rhythm, et cetera, just go with what feels the best, and just both of you enjoy it. Girls, you don't have to be some ridiculous porn star going in some crazy, you know, pretzel format. Your legs are behind your head while you're, you know, on top of, no, like you don't have to do anything super crazy. Just get on top, explore what happens. And guys, feel it out, man. Like, enjoy her body, enjoy her presence there, that, that when it's happening, really show appreciation for it, you know, not just the physical act that's happening, but, you know, the feeling of her, her weight on you, you know, seeing her. Some women are, a little bit embarrassed by that kind of position because they're like, I feel like you're looking up at me and I don't like this typical look. I usually like a downward look, you know, the whole like, doing a selfie. Some women typically do like a above, higher, downwards towards themselves picture, and they're like, it's a little bit more vulnerable.
A woman never wants to, no matter what, even if you're a supermodel, you don't want a picture of yourself like from below.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's terrible. It's a terrible angle. I take pictures and it's a terrible angle no matter who you are. So yeah, I mean, that's a little, that definitely is a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intimidating.
Yeah. And so when you're on top and then they're on that angle and then your boobs are all flapping in their face and then you're not sure of your rhythm. They're like, does this even feel good? And then you think into your head, like, well, I heard you should twerk on it. And then you're like, I don't know how to twerk.
Don't worry about the twerking. The twerking is just for visual aesthetic. It does nothing physically, at least not for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Twerking in general doesn't really do anything for me. That's short bursts of motion. I typically like longer motions, longer strokes. So it's not all on the girl to kind of have responsibility over what's happening. This is also kind of a guy's thing to be able to take care of it. But you know, there is such thing as a power bottom. Even in gay culture, they call it power bottom. You can actually get fucked from below. So it's not necessarily like a it's all on the woman scenario. Like the man can take control, and if the woman's riding, the man can fuck her from below. Just as well as a gay man could be fucking a man from below. Yeah. If he's bent over and whatnot or whatever it is, he can fuck the guy too. It's not necessarily all on the person who's on top. A top doesn't necessarily mean you're the dominant. So just because you like a woman on top doesn't mean you're a submissive. You could be, you know, kind of like a, there is a term I heard of it the other day, but it has to do with something with like a gentle dominant where they're typically a lot more prone to be soft and sweet and kind and cuddly, but then they can get real aggressive and, you know, grab you by the throat, push you up against the wall and have their way with you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, everything has to be incredibly intense in a dominant format. So enjoy it, feel it out, see what feels good, try different angles, reverse cowgirl, regular cowgirl, you know, crab legs, whatever the fuck you're looking at on porn or checking out Karma Sutra moves. Just explore stuff, see what feels good. As long as the experience that's happening is feeling good, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So, yeah. Whatever feels good with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, in both parties in general, not just the man.
As a woman on top, it's like, yeah. You know what? You're on top. Mm-hmm. You get to look mm-hmm. at my tits bouncing in your face. Mm-hmm. You get to look at me looking at you with passion in my eyes and love, and you get to lay there basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, yeah,
it's not a lot of work for y'all.
It's like a free show.
Yeah, exactly. So then just be confident in yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he finds yourself beautiful because he clearly finds you beautiful.
Yeah. That I feel like is, one of the things that generally happens with a lot of, from what I've experienced, there's women that don't have a lot of confidence in being on top because a lot of the men that they were with didn't want the woman on top. Again, the very like masculine society says like, oh, we're the man, we're supposed to fuck, we are doing the fucking. Nah, man, girls can fuck you just as good. So
mm-hmm. But I think if a man is very affirming, you know, like, God, you're so beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, blah blah blah, this is the best I felt, or whatever they can do to continuously make her feel sexy and wanted and desired, I think is the key to it.
Yeah. Affirmation is huge in that, especially when you're exploring things that you're not too familiar with. That's where affirmation comes in huge. From both sides. That even goes back to prostate stimulation, like the woman affirming, like, oh, this is really exciting, like I really like this. Like, nothing is probably more emasculating to a man than something happening and the woman says absolutely nothing and doesn't enjoy it at all. That is probably like the, like,
well, that's the same thing though with women.
Yeah.
If a man is totally silent the entire time, you don't know if what you're doing is good or terrible, mm-hmm. even when they orgasm and they're just silent.
Mm-hmm. You don't know if they liked it or not.
No, but you're just like, but what the hell just happened?
There can be, though, some people that are a lot more quiet. There can be men or women that are just a lot more quiet during sex. Yes, they'll have like the obvious groaning and when they both come or ejaculate or whatever, they will have a little bit more of a vocal presence, but you don't really know if the experience was great. Have a discussion afterwards. Like if they don't say during it whether or not they liked it, talk about it afterwards, just like recapping and being like, you know, I really liked when we were having sex and I was riding you on top, but I wasn't sure if you were enjoying yourself. And mm-hmm. then like, sometimes the man can be like, no, seriously, do that again every time and you're fucking golden. Or there may be some men that are just like, no, that was great. Let's try something new as well. So mm-hmm. Never telling somebody that it was a terrible experience, because obviously if one or the other have not been experienced in the matter, it's good to discuss it and build that trust and that communication between each other. So
yeah, especially if you've had a previous partner who wasn't very kind to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it can be a little intimidating to do it again with someone else because you've already been burned and you feel silly.
You kind of already have that stigma built around it, that it's a negative experience. That kind of goes back to like anal with women. There could be an experience where it wasn't pleasurable to them. Like, you know, the man was inexperienced. He forced things. He didn't try things, didn't use lube or just wasn't generally good at it. You know, he wasn't good at being compassionate during the experience that would happen. And that would put a stigma on them. And they're like, oh, this is really bad. But then, you know, the next partner who's like incredibly, you know, compassionate and caring and really responsive to the partner would be like, I can completely change the experience for you. I can make this into a positive and things can be actually really incredible. So.
Yeah, I think it's a game changer when a man can communicate just in general, mm-hmm. but of course, like during and after sex, I always love a good after sex talk.
Yeah, there can be some time that needs to like decompress, obviously.
No, I mean, even if it's like the next day.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah. I think those are probably the most beneficial conversations that happen is like mm-hmm. the conversation the next day or like let's say you had sex in the morning and like you guys both went to work or something like that. And then you guys come back in the evening and not necessarily over dinner, but you know, at some point in the evening when you guys are talking, watching a movie, TV, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing, relaxing, just be like, hey, you know, I like this experience that happened, or I wasn't as much of a fan of this. I would like to try something else that mm-hmm. maybe would be better. So,
yeah, I like to deconstruct. Yeah, definitely not mm-hmm. after. I think I'm ready for like to zone out like a zombie and just like maybe cuddle a little bit. Well, I love to cuddle. But
there's some people that don't want to cuddle though. There's like we've had that discussion before. There's some people that are like, I need like 5 minutes to decompress, get my shit together.
Yeah.
And then come back. And there's some people that are just like, no, I, as soon as we're fucking done, I need you on me cuddling me.
But yes, back to the whole deconstructing thing. I think it's super important. I love to tell my partner like, oh my God, when you did this, fucking amazing, you know, or when this happened, please do this again every time, or this is my favorite way that you do something, because I think it's affirming for him. Right. But it also mm-hmm. shows like an appreciation and desire.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard to do.
Yeah. Me personally. Yeah. I 110% agree that, when a woman, affirm something that I do, like, oh, I really loved when you did this. Like, even if it's something small as like, I loved when in the middle of sex, you know, it could be like doggy position or something like that, that you like, you smacked my ass. I loved that. You know what I mean? It wasn't too hard. It wasn't too soft, just right. Or, you know, it could be, you know, guys going down on a girl and the guy has a specific technique that he's using, or he maybe said something in the middle of sex. I've even had an experience where, you know, like, I was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, the best I've ever had, or this is like super hot. What's happening right now? In that instance, that can really elevate, the experience. That's when like emotions kind of start running, you know, the passion within sex is starting to flow. And something kind of like, even just words can kind of tip the edge.
It really can. I feel
yeah.
when a man makes me feel like whatever I'm doing is like sexy or, just attractive, or it's just such a turn on to them. Oh my God, forget about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like done. I'm done. I'm noodles.
Yeah. I think my favorite, instances are definitely when, the woman is incredibly affirming, like, oh my God, right there. Or, the oh shits, that's probably my favorite. The oh shit. That's when you know something's happening that they're either not used to or that they're really into. That's probably my favorite.
I'd like to thank my very good friend, Nick, for joining me on this episode this time. Please watch out for his upcoming podcast, One Night in Reno. I'm really excited about it because he's going to get even more down and dirty. This was sponsored by Dear Mom, which is a nonprofit for mothers with kids with Down syndrome. It's sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram. My book, my upcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild, and Never Alone at North. Please go give them some love on Instagram. And thanks for listening, y'all. We will check you out next time.